Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's freaking gorgeous down here. Oh, yeah. And everybody, thanks to the Fukushima radiation, has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Christina England. Christina, welcome to the program. Christina, are you there? Because we can't hear you.
Yes,
now we can. Ish? Yes. Yeah. We're going to have a bit of connectivity problems tonight. I can just feel it. So, Christina, you were doing something before with your computer where you put the microphone down or something, or you're a little bit closer to it. It seemed to clear it up quite significantly.
Yes, I'm nearer now.
Close. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it barely hear you at all. Okay, AFR, can we connect her up on her cell phone, please? We probably should have done this before. Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. Little bit of technical difficulties. I assure you, it's my fault. once AFR connects her up on this cell phone, we've got a number there for you, Christina. I hope it's a... I hope it works. Okay. Well, you can still speak, can't you?
Yes, I can still speak, yes.
Yeah, we can barely hear you, but, you know, it's intelligible. So while we're waiting for that cell phone number to get hooked up, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, I've just got
to the mic. I don't know if that helps.
Much better.
Right. Yes, my name's Christina England, and I'm an internet journalist. I have done some work on newspapers, but not much. I qualified about 4 years ago, and I came into it as a mother with two autistic sons that I adopted when they were 4 and 3. They're now 21 and 28, both autistic. And one of them is very, very definitely vaccine damaged. It was on his paperwork. And when I found this out, I began to look more into vaccine damage and the effects of vaccines. And I was shocked to what I found because I was like most mothers. I just believed that it was the right thing to do, that the governments were right, the doctors were right, and no one would ever be lying to us. And everything came of a bit of a shock. And since then, I vowed that when the children had grown up, I was going to become an internet journalist and expose everything and expose what I was learning. And I've learned an awful lot over the years.
Such as?
Such as that vaccines are very, very dangerous, that they're not all they're cracked up to be. I really came into it because I was falsely accused of Munchausen's by proxy. That's making up things to get attention, making up diseases and illnesses that the children had. In fact, I was accused of making up the very illnesses and disabilities they had before I ever met them, which is quite unique because most people get, you know, accused of making up something new, but I got made up, you know, what I got made, you know, accused of was making up the illnesses and disabilities that they had already before I even got hold of them. So this was various different things. I mean, my oldest son has mild cerebral palsy. My youngest one has got deafness. They've both got multiple disabilities. And I got accused of putting hearing aids on my youngest to make him look disabled because I liked to get the attention of him being disabled. He's got a lot wrong with him. I mean, but the other one I got accused of even putting a t-shirt on with a picture on because it made him look childish. He was 13 at the time. He's got quite severe learning difficulties and he'd just come back from Disney and he actually had chosen a t-shirt with Mickey Mouse on and I didn't even know. He'd put it in his PE kit because he wanted to show it off to his mates at school, and of course he wore it for PE without my knowledge, and I got accused of putting that in there to make him look disabled and more handicapped than he actually was. There was just one thing after another, and they made up one thing after another. And it was really because I was fighting to get their needs met, fighting for education, fighting because my eldest one had the stomach problems to go with the Asperger's, like Andrew Wakefield had mentioned. And I found that the vaccine, the MMR, that one he was damaged with, had a lot of toxins, it had poisons in it, and that it was damaging children worldwide. And although this came as a great shock to me, I had seen the rise of autism go up, to be honest, over the years, because I'd been working in schools for the disabled, and I had seen an awful rise in autism, but really couldn't put two and two together. And it wasn't until I met a lady called Lisa Blakemore-Brown, who was a psychologist, who was brought into my case to clear my name and to find out what was wrong with the boys. And I found her on the internet, and she happened to live down the road from me, which was quite handy for me. So I got to know her. And over the years, I mean, she got completely destroyed. She does a little bit now, but she's gone into another field altogether. It was around about the same time as Andrew Wakefield. And she was accused of being paranoid and making up things, and they twisted it on her. So what I'd been accused of, she actually ended up being sort of accused of herself. She'd got accused of being paranoid. She'd been saying that Professor Roy Meadow and Dr. David Southall were involved in vaccines, and that they were involved in the vaccine programs, and that they were, you know, making out the parents were sort of accusing parents of, you know, damaging their children to cover up the vaccine damage. I have since found this to be absolutely true, and she's spot on. And my next book is just about to come out with Dr. Lucia Tomajenovic, and we're both exposing the full truth of what's gone on behind the scenes in the government. We've both got government papers. They are freedom of information. Most of them are available on the internet, so we haven't got anything that anybody else couldn't get hold of.
I was thinking something about how it's fashionable and trendy to both have documents and be exposing some form of scumbaggery.
Yes, it seems to be very, very popular at the moment. A lot of people are doing it. I think the freedom of information has allowed us to learn a lot more that we probably would never have learned. And this is a good thing because we can expose the truth. We can expose what's going on. I mean, for instance, Professor Roy Meadow was actually involved in the government meetings censoring the vaccines, and he was actually speaking about the dangers and then going into court cases like Sally Clark and saying that the vaccines could not cause the disabilities, well, the death of her children. She'd lost two children directly after vaccines, one after 5 hours of having a vaccine. And both her children had died, and she got accused of murdering them and was locked up. And he actually said in court that the deaths of her children could not be caused by the vaccines. And he knew full well, because he was speaking in meetings about vaccines and cot deaths and how they could lead to cot deaths in the government JCVI meetings in Great Britain.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a great cover-up job. He was the one that actually made up the Munchausen's by proxy syndrome. He made it up. He made the sort of name up. Munchausen syndrome was around, but not Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So he was the one that made the actual name up, and he was saying that it was damaging, parents were damaging their children to get attention, and this was Munchausen syndrome, but by proxy. And, of course, he got very famous for his syndrome. He actually got knighted in the same year as David Southall, also received honours from the Queen. They both did the same year. And they were both involved in the vaccine scandals.
And what I've found is that although the evidence comes out that the vaccines cause autism, in major courts and even in their own documents, people still deny that it happens. And one of the arguments that I've heard over and over again, and I'm sure you've heard this, we just have better recording mechanisms now. It's not that vaccines have caused autism to spike from like 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 8. No. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with just now we know what autism is and we recognize it, whereas 50 years ago, somebody who was unable to speak, who was severely disabled, we just didn't know what that was, right?
Well, it got on vaccines are now causing autism. But there's been various different things. I mean, it was cold parenting at one time when Kanna brought out the original autism. He was the one that came out with the term autism. And he blamed it onto cold parenting. So parents have been blamed all the way along. But of course, since the vaccines have been found to be causing autism, they've been found, the studies have been hidden, the studies have been washed over, and they sort of play around with the figures and play around with the statistics to make the studies say what they want them to say. And of course, the more vaccines that have been brought into the schedule, and it's not just the MMR, it's all the other vaccines as well. The more vaccines that are being brought into the schedule, the more cases of autism we're seeing. And of course, the communities that aren't having the vaccines, say the Amish and the Mayor Einstein Clinic that don't vaccinate at all, those communities and those children do not have autism. I think there's, the odd case, but it's very, very rare. And the odd cases usually are if they've had a vaccine before coming into the community or before they were treated by Mayor Einstein. So, it stands up for itself. If you've got communities that are not vaccinated that don't have autism, and communities that are vaccinated that have got autism, and the more vaccines that they're having, in the countries that got the highest rate of vaccination, say America, that's where the actual autism rates are the highest.
As opposed to the Amish community, where they don't have vaccinations, except the only autism that they found in the Amish communities apparently was one when the Amish community was downstream from like a mercury contamination in a river or something, and the other ones were children that were adopted into the Amish communities after having their vaccinations.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely right.
How can you account for the disparity at the same time as pushing vaccines on people? You know, it's like, it's almost as if they're a psychotic scumbag pushing bioweapons on children. The greatest evil that one could ever conceive of is one that you hurt permanently young, innocent children.
That's true.
Something strikes me as satanic about that.
I believe that this is my own personal belief, and Dr. Rima's been speaking about it. Dr. Rima Elebo, MD, she's been speaking about it an awful lot recently, because I sort of brought it up with her in a casual conversation, really. I believe that the vaccines are, well, autism is a design model. I think they're trying to make children autistic, and they're trying to actually get a particular type of autism that is going to be useful to the governments, useful to the armies, and useful to the communities in general. We've got autistic children. Now, I've got one of them, so I know this, who like boundaries, who like routines. I mean, my youngest son has got an alarm clock that goes off. It drives me potty. Goes off every half an hour, all the waking hours. And that's to tell him to move on to the next thing to do. To you know, he'll even have, it's ridiculous, he even has an alarm to tell him when to go to the toilet, because he doesn't go unless that alarm goes off. It's a bizarre situation. Everything also is in routines. It's in, everything's lined up. Everything has got a place. If it's not in its place, he goes berserk. He goes mental if things aren't put back into the right place. If somebody's been into his room, made his bed, changed covers, anything like that, it really does upset him. Now, these type of autistic people are very, very useful because of the Brave New World that Aldous Huxley spoke of, and the sort of New World Order, where they have the three-tier system, sort of a hierarchy on the top, the sort of workers in the middle, and the technoids or the technologists at the bottom doing the mundane, routine jobs that are very repetitive, that they're not answering back. And these sort of autistics are very useful. Also, I have noticed a huge rise in great numbers of autistic people being employed by the global telecommunication companies.
Oh, Christina, we'll be right back after the break. Christina England, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Greenwave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Christina England. And we want to talk about this vaccine phenomenon, and I believe it's part of some kind of really, really dark, nasty, evil agenda. I mean, nobody who purposely injures children to the point where they become disabled for life, nobody would do that and then cover it up who had a conscience. Ergo, the people at the top in the pharmaceutical world are quite likely psychopaths. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't see any evidence that I'm wrong. I only see evidence that I'm right, which makes it very scary indeed, because almost everybody thinks that they can trust doctors who just push pharmaceutical products on you. And that's really quite worrisome. Christina, welcome back.
Hello.
What do you make of that?
Well, as I was saying before the break, I believe it's a design model that these people are evil. They are possibly psychopaths. I can't say whether they are or not. I'm not a doctor, but it's my belief. Having looked at newspaper articles, and I've seen a lot recently, that saying that companies are actually going out, and these are IT companies, these are global companies, and most of these companies have connections to Bill Gates Foundation, Vodafone, for instance, SAP. These companies are employing great big groups of autistic workers. They're looking to have autistic workers, and they're looking for their mind. They're saying that, you know, these people have a good, great mathematical skills. They have great technology skills. They can tap into computers. They can hack systems. And they want to pick up on these skills. And these great big companies, I mean, one company is looking to, which is SAP, S-A-P, a big IT company, is looking at, I think it was either 1% or 10% of its workforce. But when you look at the numbers that are working for SAP, which are 65,000, that's an awful lot of workers. They're also, there's companies that are purely not employing anybody else but autistic workers. Now, why would any company want to employ a whole company full of autistic workers? I live around two autistic boys all day, and it's hard work. But these companies are training their top people to be able to communicate and work with these autistic workers to tap into their unique skills. And that is even more worrying, I feel, than and it does go tie in very much with the three-tier system that I was talking about, where they can use these people, use the autistic. I think maybe to begin with it might have been an accident of the vaccines, but they're using it to their advantage now. And I believe that they're just designing a particular type of autism. And of course, design models take a while to work out to get the exact design.
Designer autism.
Yes, designer autism. If you look at the Delta Project that Dr. Rima Lebo has actually gone into in great depth, she took hold of what I'd said because she'd been looking at the three-tier system, the triangle, and she'd been talking about it a lot. And it wasn't until I'd seen her video about this that I sort of put two and two together and started coming up with this sort of idea. And I went to her and I said, what if they were designing autism? What if they were designing, you know, children to become like this for a reason? And I explained what I'd seen. I explained the different newspaper articles. So I gave her about 10 articles that I'd found about what was happening in the IT world and who was involved and how it seemed to be linked back to the Gates Foundation. And I said, what if this is what they were doing? And she took it on board. And now if you go to the Dr. Rima Truth Reports into her website, you'll see the Delta Project, and she's had a huge following on it, and they've taken it up. She's actually called it the England Hypothesis. And if you look into the way she's put it over, which is probably a lot better than I'm putting it over now, you'll actually understand it a lot more. And the webinar was actually sabotaged, completely sabotaged as soon as we went on air. It just went completely. We had doctors from all over the world discussing this and discussing vaccines and autism and the dangers in vaccination. And the moment we went on air, we'd had lots of problems. Our sites have been hacked. My email account was hacked very badly twice in a row. All Dr. Rima's sites went down. They were all hacked. And we've had terrible trouble ever since. But we did manage to get the webinar done because we decided to actually record it all ourselves, and we've done it as an ebook and webinar, which you can actually pay for and get the whole information on all of this and all the newspaper articles. There's different PowerPoints by different professionals from all over the world. We've got Vera Schreibner, we had Dr. Paul King, various other top doctors from around the world were actually giving their views on vaccination and the actual Delta Project itself.
So let me get this straight.
we're going to wind up with a society where a good proportion of people are the Deltas off of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, who are very dull, very repetitious, and basically don't accomplish anything in their life except being told to shop because shopping makes you happy.
Yes, that's right, really. It's just, it's... On top of them,
there'll be a middle class sort of bunch of people who do sort of administration, technical skills and so on and so forth. They'll be a little bit more intelligent. And then above them, there will be the elite, the rulers.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
According to Dr. Rima, she was speaking to a patient of hers, and this is how she stumbled upon it. And the patient of hers, which was somebody very, very high up, somebody very elite, she has never mentioned who, obviously for patient confidentiality, had mentioned to her that they were depopulizing. It was a depopulization plan to get rid of the useless eaters. And when Dr. Rima said, well, who are the useless eaters? And she said, well, we are. They're going to drop down the population to 10% of what it is today. And this is where they're going to make the three-tier system.
And,
it's very difficult to believe. It's difficult to take on board.
No. It's not that difficult to believe. I mean, look, let's think about this. Whenever I tell somebody that they plan to exterminate a whole bunch of people, they're like, oh, how could they do that? How could they do that? You know, I don't know of any single method that could actually accomplish that. Well, did it occur to you that they're not going to use a single method? That they're going to use multiple methodologies?
Oh, yes, they're doing it.
That they're going to release... Yeah, that they're going to release bioweapons, that they're going to contaminate the place with radiation, that they're going to contaminate the food with cancer-causing compounds, that they're going to contaminate all the water supplies with carcinogens, you know, like fluoride and so on and so forth. Did you know that they're going to be doing this, that, and the other, and such, and blah, blah, blah? Do you have any idea how many ways you are being killed right now as you speak and as you sit in your little chair right now at this very moment? You're probably being killed by about 19 different things simultaneously, okay? And this is when they're being nice about it.
Absolutely. My friend's just written a brilliant book that's just about to be published called The Toxic World That We Live In. And she talks about makeup. She talks about the GM crops. She talks about vaccinations, the drugs, everything. Everything we use, you know, even when we're cleaning around the house, we're using cleaning fluids. All of these have got toxins that are seeping through our skin. You know, if we shower the water that we're using, that's obviously got all the chemicals and the fluoride in, and that's seeping through your skin, even if you're not drinking it, even if you're managing to get bottled water. And, of course, you know, we're all on terribly tight budgets. I'm probably on one of the tightest I know. And this week I haven't been able to have the bottled water, but I have been using bottled water. But you can't shower in the bottled water. You can't actually do things like, you know, cook all your vegetables in bottled water. It would cost you a fortune to do that. So, obviously, you are having the water, whether you like it or not. You are having toxic water. And that's just one of the methods. You know, foods, they're putting GM crops into the foods.
Look at all the sugar and yes. Things. Did you know that, like, McDonald's fries have, like, 17 ingredients?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, it's fried potato. How was there 17 ingredients in there, Brown?
It's unbelievable, but they do it to crisp the fries up, to make them look attractive. It's just...
You know what?
Everything
you know what?
I've seen the supermarkets are all done to look attractive. The colours aren't real. If you look at
hold on, and that occurs to me. That occurs to me, Christina. We're going through such lengths to make our food attractive that it reminds me of women putting on copious quantities of like 17 different types of makeup and fake boob
Puka Rapa thingies and all of this other stuff. And then when you get the girl home, she takes off her eyelashes, she takes off her fingernails, she takes off her boobs, she takes off her face, and then she accuses you of only wanting her for her body.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, whether you're using hairspray, even the shampoos, everything that we're using, soap, whatever soap we're using.
Except the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. We've got the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. There's a banner on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's the soap I use. And she even sent me hair product because I was using this paraben-containing hair product and she didn't want me to get Alzheimer's or cancer or something.
Yes, my friend's sending me all the makeup and everything, bit by bit, you know, to be able to use the proper makeup. They're just samples that her site, she's got a site called Miss Eco Glam. And,
is that MissEcoGlam.com?
Yes, that's the one. Yes, she runs that. And this is the lady that's written The Toxic World, Our Toxic World. It's a brilliant book. I have actually endorsed it myself. I was one of the professionals she asked to endorse it. So it really is a wonderful, wonderful book.
I'd like to have her on the show if you could hook me up. That'd be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. I can definitely do that for you. She was on the Dr. Rima Truth Reports not so long ago. I managed to get her on there talking about her book, and I went on with her and was discussing the book.
Excellent. All right, we'll do that too. Now, furthermore, let's have a look. Okay, if you're trying to get rid of toxins from the environment that are fulfilling the New World Order agenda, you've got one hell of a task ahead of you, and it's not a task that only one person can do because it requires many different disciplines and levels of expertise in order to basically fight it, right? Like, you've got a whole world. And it's have you ever seen those balls of string or something with the two knitting needles stuck through them?
No, I haven't actually. Yes, I have.
It's a classic symbol of knitting. You know, you got your ball of yarn, two big knitting needles stuck right through it. Well, it's kind of like the Earth is like that, except instead of only two knitting needles jutting through it and skewering it, there's like about 7 billion, and at this point, it's really disheartening to a lot of people to even try and understand the reality of it because it's so stark, so scary, so bad that they can't even deal with it, right? Psychologically speaking, what if I told you today that everything you ever were brought up to believe that was good for you is in fact bad for you, and everything that you ever brought up to believe that was bad for you is actually good for you? Right? More or less, that's what we're talking about here. So that means if I inform somebody of that, their entire freaking perception of reality falls apart. It implodes like a dying star. And it's very difficult, once you realize that, to actually get back on track and maintain some kind of sanity or some kind of life after it without living in freaking denial.
Exactly. I think, you know, the moment you register a child, you're registering that child. The moment you register that birth, you're registering them over to the government. You're signing them over to the government. And people don't actually realize that this is happening. And we actually belong to the government. That's why they can do exactly what they want to do with us. Because, you know, our parents say, well, it's, you know, our children, it's our right. And it's very difficult to turn around to a parent and say, well, actually, it's not your right and they're not your children, because people wouldn't understand that. And if you go into all of what's going on and come on purpose and what is really happening, I mean, the education system's being dumbed down. They're being taught what they want them to learn. History, they're no longer, history is not taught in the same way as it used to be. And
it's hardly taught at all. Christina, we're coming to break. Christina England is my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Here we go, we're coming back.
It got no
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And also welcome back to my very special guest, Christina England. Christina, I used to look after autistic boys. What was interesting is that I was one of the very few males doing it. It is a overwhelmingly female-dominated caregiving sector, which is a shame because the boys in particular, and it was mostly boys that get the autism, girls not so much as I understand it, are just like any other boy that needs a strong male role models around them. And when I was with these boys, I managed to curb their behavior really significantly in very short periods of time, whereas previously other people didn't really care about them whatsoever. They're kind of viewed as this unsolvable puzzle that they would prefer to just keep sitting on a shelf like an old dusty Rubik's Cube, one that they know they can never figure out and they're never even going to bother. Whereas I started to figure it out. I started to teach them new words, how to speak, how to play ball, how to exercise, how to communicate, how to stop biting, spitting, and hitting, that kind of thing. I was doing that in really quick succession. And the unfortunate thing is, nobody cared. Like literally. It was like pounding my head against a brick wall, trying to show these parents of these children how to change their children's behavior, as I've been doing. And that, no. I don't want to look at no evidence. I don't want to look at any methodologies. I'm just going to say thank you for doing what you're doing, and as soon as you're gone, it's all over with, and they'll just revert back to normal, and that's how we like it. It's like having that child was a death sentence to a degree. Like they'd gotten used to it. They'd seen so many doctors, so many specialists, taking their money, trying to tell them how to accomplish this, that, or the other with their beautiful child, and being disappointed so repeatedly that anybody who ever comes up and tries to help you again is instantly dismissed as too traumatic to go through the disappointment again. And I felt that disappointment being in the position I was, and I couldn't keep doing it, so I had to leave. This is what people don't really understand. Now, this disease doesn't just affect the child, does it, Christina?
No, it doesn't. It was funny because I now say that God taught me to embrace autism. And the reason I say that is because I actually put on my adoption forms. I'd often worked with disabled children. I'd worked in schools. I'd worked in hospitals and a respite unit and various different places working with the disabled. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working with the disabled. But I had put on by my adoption forms when I went to adopt children with special needs that I didn't want autism. And lo and behold, I ended up with two very severely autistic boys. They were classed as globally developmentally delayed. This is a catch-all phrase that seems to cover up that actually they've got autism. So if parents, adoptive parents out there that are going to adopt children, look out for that, because that is just a phrase they use to cover up disabilities. Another phrase they use is attachment disorders. They say the children will improve once they get boundaries, once they get love. An autistic child can improve, but not to the level that they put out that they'll improve, because attachment disorder and autism, whereas although they're similar in some places, and I've studied this, I've done psychology, they're not actually the same at all. They're very different. They've got some similarities, that's all I would say about it. However, over the years, I have I have become to actually love my autistic boys very, very much. I wouldn't part with them for the world, and I don't regret for 1 minute adopting them. They're the best thing that ever happened to me. Certainly the best thing I've ever done in my life. They're wonderful boys. They've got such a lot to give, and you can actually get in and you can understand them. My youngest has got a terribly wonderful sense of humour. He comes out, because he's so logical and so literal with everything he says, he takes everything literal, and it can be a very funny experience from time to time. You know, he just says the most weird things and you sort of look at him. For instance, we were walking past the church not so long ago, and he looked at me and he said, "Mum, will Father William marry me?" So I said, "Well, yes, I suppose he will when you get married." So he said, "Oh, that's a pity, Mum." He said, "I really had hoped I was going to marry a woman." And it was so funny at the time, because he had taken it literally that Father William would actually marry him. And this is how he is all the time. He does take everything literal. But he's a delight to be around. He's an absolute wonderful boy. He's a wonderful human being. And these autistic children, you can tap into them and you can understand them. If you're prepared to try and get on there, look at things from their perspective, because they haven't got the social cues. They haven't got the sort of empathy that I would say most human beings have, but they haven't really. But, you know, they haven't got empathy. They don't understand facial expressions. They don't understand body language and things like this. So the world can be a very confusing place. And I think if you try to understand things from the way they're looking at things, then you've got a much better chance of understanding and communicating with your autistic children, because they can be communicated with. I remember when I adopted Nikki, he had got contact with his birth mama. He'd had contact with her from the day one. And I specifically said that I wanted to keep up that contact. And she said, well, the social worker said, well, he won't notice, will he? He doesn't speak. He doesn't understand anything. So I said, just because he doesn't speak doesn't mean to say that he doesn't understand anything. I said, you're sort of taking it that he's completely disabled, a vegetable, can't do anything and can't understand anything. I said, I think, and also he was with a completely black, West African family, because there wasn't any foster homes that were available to take him. He is a white English boy. And I said, if you take him out of the situation that's been surrounded by all a black community, and you're putting him into a white community with a single mum and another white child, I said, surely that would be very confusing for him. She said, well, he won't notice, will he? And I said, I think he might find it that he will notice. And sure enough, obviously he did notice. But it's been a very, very difficult journey for us, but it's a journey that has been a very worthwhile and a very sort of embracing journey. It's been one that has taught me an awful lot about life, and it's been a great experience.
Now, I saw this poster up in one of the care centres that I was at called Celebrating Autism, and they have these days where you give out prizes and so on and so forth, and all the parents come in and they take their children, and I thought to myself, all right, let's celebrate disorders and diseases that are in large part unnatural, okay? I just thought about a great idea, celebrating giant tumours, celebrating lymphoma, celebrating spina bifida, celebrating cancer. You know what's happened here? Is that society's gotten so sick for so many reasons that somebody has figured out that they can make an industry off of that suffering. And they do. And they promote it. That's the thing. We're promoting disease, really. We're not promoting cures. We're not promoting effective therapies to alleviate symptoms. We're not promoting natural remedies. We're simply promoting the disease and the endless drugs that they dope the kids on.
Well, let's face it, the pharmaceutical companies would go bust if there wasn't any sick people. So if they're making sick people and then they can feed them with the drugs, I mean, and these pharmaceutical companies are very, very clever because they're actually tapping into all the different support groups. You've got the different drug companies supporting the ADHD groups, and they're the particular companies that are sort of plying them with the ADHD drugs like Ritalin and various other ones. I hear they've got a whole string of them now. Each company, if you look at the sort of pharmaceutical industries and you look at different support groups, like epilepsy support groups, you've got the support groups for diabetes, and each one has got some kind of funding from the pharmaceutical companies. But you've got to wonder why they're actually getting the funding at all, because obviously they want to fund them because they want to sort of encourage them to support their drugs. Certainly one ADHD group that I know in Great Britain, it had great funding from Eli Lilly. And Eli Lilly was funding...
Hold on a second. Let's leave that as a weak cliffhanger.
Who was Eli Lilly funding? We'll find out after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. And my very special guest is Christina Anglin. Now, Christina, you were talking about Eli Lilly funding something to do with ADHD or whatever.
Yes, that's right. They fund very heavily the support group in Great Britain. It's called ADDIS. That's Attention Deficit Disorder Information Services. That's one. It's quite hard to remember all that. But, so they have been funding sleep studies and all sorts of things for a very long time. This was one of the organisations that completely destroyed Lisa Blakemore Brown. She was set up by them, basically, because in her book, she's actually mentioned Eli Lilly, and she's mentioned vaccines and autism. Her book was really on autism. It was called... It's called Reweaving the Autistic Tapestry, and it's one of the most fantastic books I think I've ever read. She's a very unique and talented professional. She still does work in the autism field, but not so much. She's had to stop a lot of her work because her reputation was completely ruined. I mean, she's still a wonderful, wonderful professional. And she was speaking out about that. Vaccines. She was the first person to ever connect Munchausen syndrome by proxy, vaccinations, and autism as a group of three, because she was seeing an awful lot of parents being falsely accused of Munchausen's by proxy when their children were actually vaccine damaged and had autism. And she wrote about it in several big papers and several different places. And what she was saying, the UK government just did not like what she was saying, and there were several different ways of actually destroying her. I was actually a witness in a hearing, and what I saw going on at the British Psychological Society, what I actually saw go on behind the scenes, the average person would not believe the lies, the deceit, the complete corruption. You know, saying that she sent stuff in when they hadn't asked her to, when clearly they had. There was emails actually asking her for specific stuff on David Southall and Professor Roy Meadow. And then when she sent it in, they made her look paranoid by saying, oh, well, you know, we didn't ask her to send all this. She was sending all of this, you know, irrelevant information. And it couldn't have been more relevant if, you know, it was so relevant. But, of course, they didn't want that to be shown up and they didn't want the truth to come out. And it was easier to call her paranoid and destroy her reputation than to actually admit it. She did win her case, but it was on a technicality. It was on appeal. The same happened to Jane Donegan, Dr. Jane Donegan in the UK. She spoke out in an MMR trial. She was on the side of mothers, two mothers that were fighting the fathers of their children. The fathers wanted them to be vaccinated with the MMR. The mothers didn't. And the judge called what she was saying junk science and reported her to the GMS, which is the General Medical Council, for actually the GMC, for peddling junk science, and that she was unprofessional, and it was professional unprofessional misconduct or something.
I don't like this whole methodology of calling people unprofessional, or, you know, oh, you're not being professional. I don't like it. You know why? Because the world's currently run by professionals. How's that working out for you?
Yes, exactly. And they are being called unprofessional. Anybody that connects vaccinations and autism or any disorder, whether it be diabetes, and I know of people that have children that have become immediately diabetic as soon as they've had vaccines. I've got two cases in court. I help lots and lots of people at the moment, parents that have been falsely accused. That's what I really prefer to do, and that's what I try to do. I write stories on vaccination truth, or vac truth it's called, about different cases. I expose different issues. I get hold of news stories and expose the truth. And I've got two cases, one in South Africa in court on trial for murder of shaken baby syndrome, which is another thing that they're accusing parents of shaking their babies and causing the triad of injuries when there's no other injuries at all on the body. And if these children were shaken as violently as they're supposed to be, there would be neck and back injuries on these children. There are no neck and back injuries. These children are very young. A lot of them don't have head and head support, support of the neck and the head. And so the head and neck would be going like, you know, the clappers, really. And if they were being shaken this violently, and there's no other injuries, there's no bruising to the body, there's no other injuries at all. I've got a couple that on trial for murdering their little girl after she was 5 months old. She'd already had 21 vaccinations. I mean, 21 vaccinations by the time she was 5 months. And then she had the 8 vaccinations, which unfortunately did finish her. So it killed her. And they've been accused of murder. They're both on trial for murder. And they're looking at life sentences. I haven't heard from them for a considerable amount of time. They went into their court case at the end of September, so I would presume that they are now behind bars, as I haven't heard any further from them, and we were in daily contact. Now the family is in the UK, and that child was damaged after an MMR and started to fit and dropped unconscious and had either a bleed to the brain or a swelling in the brain, and he's been accused of murder as well. And he's on trial. His verdict comes tomorrow. They didn't let him have any witnesses on his side. He wasn't allowed any experts at all on his side. His mother was his only witness, and she was only allowed on the stand for 10 minutes. How is that a fair case? All the other experts from the hospital, they had days and days. This case has gone on for about 3 weeks now, and all the other experts have spoken, but we weren't allowed to have any experts on our side, and they didn't give him any time to write reports because on both cases, the medical records went missing, and they had no medical records. But the experts, the other side, they managed to have the medical records to actually work with. So how is that fair, Charles? How is that justice?
Oh, that just sounds awfully convenient.
Oh, very convenient. They always lose them. Oh, the other thing that the couple in South Africa had was they had a CD of brain scans, but oh dear, they couldn't open the CD. Nobody could open the CD, so nobody could actually look at the brain scans. I had three or four up ready to do expert reports for them, and the same for the UK family. I've got two experts waiting on tap, Dr. Michael Innes and Dr. Vera Scribner, wanting to be witnesses, both wanting to be experts in their case, and haven't been able to because in both cases, these experts were in both cases, involved in both cases, they haven't been able to have the medical records to do them. I managed to get the medical records to Dr. Vera Scribner and Dr. Michael Innes 2 days ago, but the verdict is tomorrow. It was not enough time for them to write a report.
Can I also state as well, not only is the system itself stitched up by these major pharmaceutical companies, but all of the processes in which you're supposed to get justice, they stack the deck against you kind of thing. They make it almost impossible for you to get the truth out. You know, it's like, you've got to do things in a proper way, in a proper way. What? You mean, when you say a proper way, do you mean a scumbag way? Do you mean a scumbaggery way? The way, what kind of way are we talking about? Like Carlito's way? What kind of way are we talking about here? This is unbelievable. These people are completely full of steaming piles of something that you can't mention on FCC regulated radio. There's the difficulty.
Exactly.
Right, they're in, isn't it? They're professional. They've got the methodology down.
I remember on my webinar, when I did the webinar for the Delta Project, I showed a very slight clip of the Bugs Life film for the three-tier system. I was explaining how the three-tier system worked. And the Bugs Life is it's a Disney film. And part of it was a very humorous part where the ants had come against a problem. They were the workers, they were the technologists in this three-tier system. You had the three tiers, you could see the three tiers very clearly, you could see the pyramid. And it was a Disney film. And they came across a problem. They couldn't get around a leaf that had fallen down. And these other insects came running down the hill saying, "We're trained professionals, don't worry, we're trained professionals, we'll help you out of this spot." And it was so funny. And that is why I actually put that clip up. Because it was just hilarious how they came rushing down this mountainside, screaming at them that they were trained professionals and they knew better than anybody else. And don't worry, they would sort it all. And this is like the world it is. It is. The world is run by professionals who think they can sort everything. And, especially in court systems, we don't stand a chance. Because once you're accused, that's it. Everybody puts on the rose-tinted glasses, what Lisa used to call Lisa Blakemore Brown, that is. She used to call it the Munchausen's or the shaken baby syndrome, rose-tinted lenses, and everybody thinks that way. And once one professional say it, they all say it. Half the professionals are writing for these families have never even met them. I certainly know that in my own case. I had a professional write a report on me who'd never met me and never met my boys, and he was stating all these things about me. And I looked at the report and I said, "But this guy's never met me. I don't know this person." And it was because he was a psychiatrist and he'd been brought in. I said, "But if a psychiatrist has been brought in and I had to have a full psychiatric assessment in the end and came out sane and normal, much to their disgust, you know, I said, how can a trained psychiatrist give a report on me and my boys? And they've never met any of us. And they're calling me, you know, this lady has certainly has the boy, they called it traits of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. How can you have traits of something? You've either got it or you haven't.
And it's because they're a traitor.
Yeah, this is it. It's all lies. It's all cover-ups. It's all, you know, and the vaccinations, because it's so big, and if the truth was exposed completely, what is really going on, and it was taken on board, just think of the damage. Just think of the litigations and the people that could be sued and the amount of money that the government and the pharmaceutical industries would lose. They can't let it out. They can't let the cat out of the bag. So it's easier just to destroy the parents of the children and say, well, blame the parent syndrome, or blame the professionals and say, oh, that, you know, they're paranoid, they're being unprofessional, they're not doing this right, they're not doing that right. Get rid of the few that are speaking out, and, you know, then they've got their perfect world again. But trouble is, more and more people are coming forward. There's more professionals than they can cope with now. We've got so many professionals speaking out, and I've seen through it. And, I mean, I never registered with the National Union of Journalists for that reason, so that I couldn't be destroyed. Because, you know, without a governing body, they've got no one to complain to. I mean, I've got people certainly complaining on VacTruth and saying I'm making up things to get attention, and all the same old same. But there's nothing they can do about it, because as long as Jeff is prepared to print my work, and he's not the only one. There's a lot of people that are printing my work, and a lot of newspapers and all sorts that I'm involved in now that are printing my work. And, you know, I have managed to this year expose one of the biggest stories going, I think, around the internet. It must be one of the biggest stories. And it was because a gentleman from Africa emailed me through my website. I've got a website called profitableharm.com. And he actually came in and he emailed me through my website and said, are you Christina England? So I said, well, yes. So he said, can I tell you our story, and could you put it onto your storyboard? And I said, well, yes. What is your story? And he said, well, 500 children in our community, our small village, were locked into a school and forcibly vaccinated with, we didn't know, the parents had no idea at all. They were vaccinated with the meningitis A vaccination, Menafrac. And out of those children, 106 became very, very sick, and 50 were permanently paralyzed, having terrible convulsions, and rushed off to hospital. And I said, can you prove this? You know, thinking, well, this is a bit far-fetched. It was all to do with the Gates Foundation. And the more you found out, PATH was involved, the WHO were involved. It was just everybody, the CDC were involved. Everybody that could be involved that were really big were involved with this. And I said, are you absolutely sure? And he said, yes. I said, where is the story? I haven't seen the story. He said, nobody will print it. None of the mainstream media will print it. He said, but we have got it in a newspaper. And I said, well, can you send over the copies? He said to me, well, it's not on the internet, so you can't get onto it. So I said, have you got a front page of this newspaper and the actual news story? Sure enough, he emailed me the news story. He emailed me the front page of the paper. And I was absolutely astounded. This was absolutely true. And it was all hushed up.
Christina, are you there? We appear to have lost her. Conveniently, we're coming to break now. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back and try and reconnect Christina England. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Back in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's about history repeating, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I hope that you're all enjoying this episode, even if it's scaring the bejesus out of you, knowing that this is a bunch of ruthless criminals, sociopathic scumbags, with vaccines out there. My very special guest is Christina England. Now, Christina, where would you like to take this? Actually, more to the point, I'd like to know what really got you into this whole realm of searching and everything. Was it just the fact that you adopted your children and they were a lot more disabled than you were led to believe?
Yes, that and the fact that I was accused of Munchausen's by proxy, and I'd met Lisa Blakemore-Brown. I think if I hadn't have come across this amazing lady, then I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I've written two books. The first one was published last year. That was written, I was a co-author with Dr. Harold Bertram, and that's called Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine Encephalitis, Our Parents Being Falsely Accused. It's a long title, admittedly, but it's very full. And it's done in two halves. The book is done in two halves. The book I'm doing at the moment, I don't know the title, because Dr. Lucia Tomaszewicz hasn't actually told me the title yet, but that should be coming out Christmas or shortly after Christmas. And that was the one I was telling you about, governments and the pharmaceutical companies and what we actually found out on them. And my section is about Munchausen's by proxy and about the corruption and that's going on in government regarding Professor David Southall and Professor Roy Meadows, Sir Roy Meadows.
And how do you accomplish what you have already and still retain your sanity going up against the madness?
It is very, very difficult. The story that I was telling you about.
Okay, we're having some real problems with Christina's line there. I'm not sure if AFR has the problem, but I certainly have that problem. We have her cell phone number. Are you able to try and connect her up on that? Yeah, we totally lost her. She's I sent you the cell phone number earlier. Are you going to, like, you know, reconnect her with
that?
She's back.
Still here, yes. I don't know what happened there.
Well, hold on a second. It's like you're echoing and also cutting out pretty substantially. I don't know if that's me or it might be me. There's something, some real frustrating, like I'm sitting here, verge pulling my hair out, incredibly frustrated with how this is going, and I don't know what the problem is. Christina, are you even there? Hello?
Yes, I am here. This does frequently happen to me, especially when I speak about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Chad story. It happens very frequently. It's very, very annoying and very frustrating for all concerned.
Yeah, I'm starting to get their picture.
Anybody that wants to actually look at the stories for themselves, they are on FactTruth. If you Google my name, Christina England, put journalist in, and Chad Africa, that's C-H-A-D Africa, you'll find the stories there. I've done a series of five now. These children are still very ill. This happened in January. It's now October. These children have been dumped back in their village, left without any help, any support or any medication, and their parents have been left to get on with it. And this is how Bill and Melinda Gates treats children in Africa, because I mean their numbers are really just I think the children in Africa and the children in the third world are just, you know, easy to sort of, they're just dispensable. They can get rid of them and no one will notice. Well, actually, people do notice. And the parents, these are still children with parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. And they are loved very, very much. And they're just as worth everything, the same as any other child anywhere else in the world. They're no different. I don't know what they're doing, but they seem to be testing these vaccinations on these children quite regularly in India and in Africa. This was a test vaccination, the pentavalent vaccination, which caused 37 deaths in India, which is all over the internet at the moment, this story, and various other stories. I exposed some papers on Vac Truth about this vaccination when it was 36 deaths. It's now 37 deaths. And this is an awful lot of children being killed with a vaccine that was being tested. And these vaccines are being tested, just like the HPV vaccine was first tested on tribal Indian children and caused absolute devastation throughout the communities. And yet, you know, they seem to not care. It doesn't matter that these children, you know, they're testing the vaccinations on them. They pay the parents peanuts, you know, for doing these tests because they haven't got the money to live. And they haven't got, you know, the things that we have. They haven't got fresh water. I mean, wouldn't it be better if they spent their money on fresh water and better food for these children rather than vaccinations? I mean, you know...
Yeah, but that would be logical and non-psychopathic. Yeah. Plus, you couldn't make any money out of people suffering on a perpetual basis if you did that.
No, I mean, these children are, because they can't be reported, because the stories can't go onto the internet very easily. I mean, it ended up with the Prime Minister of Chad and the actual Health Minister of Chad being relieved of their duties because the story was leaked. And who leaked the story? Me. So I'm not the actual, you know, their favourite person at the moment. But I only leaked the story because I'm a man from Africa happened to email me who was a relative of one of these families and one of these children. And his child was, the child that was a relative of his was paralysed. And he came to me with the story. Now, if he hadn't have managed to have those internet skills and be able to get onto the internet in Ajima, in the capital, then he wouldn't have been able to have told me that story and I wouldn't have been able to have leaked it. As it happens, I got footage from him, from the Prime Minister visiting the children and everything. So we knew the story was true. We knew that they were trying to cover it up, and the WHO managed to cover and actually close Ajima Airport to the public for a whole day while they ship these children on a private jet plane, and that was the WHO that did that. It's called SMEDI over there, S-M-E-D-I. They call it that because they speak in another language. They speak in French and I can't remember the other. There's another language they speak in. And the WHO actually shut the airport, managed to ship all these children over for private tests and everything, and then they ship them back and dump them in their communities without any, you know, and they just announced to the public, it was mass hysteria. Well, mass hysteria doesn't cause children to be paralyzed for 10 months, and I wouldn't believe that, and I don't think anybody that's listening to the show today will believe that for 1 minute, that children suffer mass hysteria after a vaccination and the symptoms go on for 10 months and they're still in the same state they were 10 months ago, except they've now got a rash right across their body. And I have got government papers. I have been given them. I've been given medical records, so I know it's true. And these papers were given to me by hand by the gentleman himself, because he came to London to do some work and he met me in London at the time. So it is true. We have put documents up on Vac Truth. The documents are exposed as they are. And yet I was still accused by various different posters and commenters of making it up to get attention. How could I make up all of this? It was all in French. I don't even read French. I had to get a translator to manage to do it for the actual site. We actually employed a translator to do it for us.
It's a struggle, isn't it? Every single thing that you...
It is.
You know, it really frustrates me because it occurs to me that this is how the world's structured now. If you're trying to do something good for people, you'll have opposition the likes of which you've never conceived of in your life. If you're trying to mess people round, deceive them and destroy their life, suddenly you get all the support you need.
Absolutely, yes. I've been done with my boys. I mean, I love them to bits, but I have to do absolutely everything for them.
because I get no support. I have got one social worker who comes in about every 6 months. However, she's employed originally to see and acknowledge Nicholas's behaviour, and she is blind, and she comes in with a guide dog and a carer. So, I mean, she's a lovely, lovely person. And don't get me wrong, but is she right for this family? No, she's not. She's no use to me, because if she can't, you know, actually see his behaviour and can't see what's going on in the family, how can she actually, you know, be any use to us as a social worker?
It's quite insane. Let me see if I've got this straight. You've got a bad social worker, and of course, you can't get rid of them. Kind of like a rash.
Yes, exactly.
Did it occur to you that maybe that social worker has been placed there purposefully?
Very possibly. It was quite funny, really, because when the actual case conferences were going through, when I was accused, I was offered respite for the boys. I did just say that I would have it eventually, because they said that if I didn't agree to it, they would take them away. So eventually I did agree to 2 hours respite a week with these people. And it turned out that the woman actually worked for social services, and she actually was on the child protection team. However, it was her husband that was actually coming to the family. Well, as it happened, the husband got on with the boys terrifically, and we actually made very good friends with the family that they were with, because she said that they couldn't have a better mother. She said that I was a brilliant mother. And so it sort of backfired on them, because they came in hoping to find all this rubbish out about me, and they didn't, because I was coping very well with the boys, even though I'd been left on my own and I've had no support and no help. And parents, I'm not the only one. Parents with autistic children are dumped on. We are left to get on with it ourselves. But if we cope, great, then they can just, you know, ignore us and get on, you know, and forget we even exist and our children even exist. And the ones that cry and scream for help, well, they get accused and invariably have their children taken away from them.
And what do they do with those kids once they've been taken away? Because I've heard of pedophile rings and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
In the UK and in, what's it called, the Netherlands apparently has a really notorious government-backed pedophile service, enslaved child slave labour kind of thing.
Well, we certainly have it here, definitely. I don't know if you know the Holly Gregg story. I mean, you must know the Holly Gregg story. Everybody knows that one, yes. I know Holly, I know her mother. And that girl is telling the truth, 100%.
I really want them on my show as well. There's somebody else that you were able to get on my show who wrote a book or something about everything being toxic, and Holly Gregg and her mother as well. I would really love to have them on the show too. There's so many people in this world who have really incredible stories, and even if they have been told 100 times, they still need to be told 1,000 times more, because they're so traumatic and so painful and so difficult for people to accept that they need to have them repeated to the truth to them 1,000 times over before they believe it.
Yes, I don't know if I can actually get Holly and her mother on the show. I think I might be able to, certainly. I mean, I do know them personally, and I have written one article about their case. I did it from a different angle. I did it about professionals writing reports that have never met the family. They had a psychiatrist write a report on them that hadn't met the family at all, this is happening all the time. Certainly Anna Rogers, who wrote The Toxic World and the book, I can definitely get her on the show. In fact, she's coming to be at my place tomorrow. I'm meeting her at home tomorrow. We're having a day out with her and her daughter. So, yes, definitely she could. She would definitely go on your show. She's a lovely lady. Very interesting. Has a lot to say. She, like everybody else, came into it because she was very badly damaged with lead when she was very tiny. She actually covered her body in lead paint, painting her body because, you know, as children do, didn't realise the dangers, and she got toxic poisoning. And it was because of that that she ended up coming to where she is today. And she's a marvellous woman. She's got a lot of stories to tell, and she's a very, very intelligent woman. Even though she's very young, she's very, I would presume she's in her late 20s, early 30s, if that, but she's very, very intelligent, and her site is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It's missecoglam.com. She does have a lot of, I've written on her site a few times as well.
Well, can you ask her as well? I mean, being so intelligent, it actually becomes the star, I found, the harder it is, because you figure out so many bad things that are going on all the time that it's almost like you get your head full of this crap. And I think the mind is like a toilet bowl. You've got to flush out that crap from time to time, otherwise you get some form of blockage. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyheswoodshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man. Expand the military industrial complex. Annex foreign soil with chemical objects. Specs psyop attacking your conscience. Next.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. Speaking of genocide, there is a rapper called Genocide, whose songs that we play on the show very now and again. Genocide.wordpress.com is the website if you want to go and listen to his anti-New World Order rap songs. Because let's face facts here. When you're in a war against a bunch of psychopathic, criminal, sociopathic scum who have no creativity, bear in mind that artistically messing with them is one of the best weapons ever. At least I feel so anyway. Christina England is my very special guest. Welcome back. We only have one segment left. I'm dying to know what you'd like to round us off with.
I think the meeting in New York would be quite interesting to round you off with, because that's what I've just written on. There's a meeting tomorrow morning in New York. The mayor has called the meeting because he has decided in his wisdom that children under five that want to go to daycare have to have the annual flu vaccination and the pneumonia vaccination. And he decided that these two vaccinations were absolutely the ones that they needed to have. Now, what he didn't check out was that the vaccines were compatible, because the flu vaccine that's being really used the most for children, for the younger children, is the FluMist, which is the one that you sniff up the nose, the nasal vaccination. And apparently, according to literature on the sites, which I have exposed, it actually says that there has been no safety studies to whether this particular type of vaccination is actually compatible with the other vaccination that he wants to recommend. So he's gone about, he's arranged his meeting, it's a public hearing, and people can, all the information is on VaxTruth, on the meeting. People can go along and give their opinions on what they think and what they feel about vaccinations on both sides of the fence. I should imagine there'll be people telling both sides. Sally Elkadoy is one that's Christina, a good friend of mine, and she, yeah?
I really don't like it when people say, oh, we're going to hear from both sides. There is no both sides if one of the sides is a lie and one of the sides is the truth. There's only two sides when both people are telling the truth, but their stories are a little bit different.
But if people hear the lies, they can make it up for themselves. They can, if people research, and all you have to do is research. If people bothered to research, they would learn what I've learned, what you've learned, and what people are learning every day. That the vaccinations are poison. That they are weapons of massive destruction. Exactly what Dr. Rebecca Carley has said time and time again. That it is genocide. They are looking to kill up to 90% of the population, so they have 10% left for the New World Order. And this is what I believe.
This is another element.
Believe.
See, this is the element that really frustrates me as well. That's the truth of it. And we've got plenty of evidence to suggest that, plenty of quotes from high-up vaccine promoters that's actually what they're for.
Absolutely.
Okay, so at the end of the day, though, you have lots of other people who know what we know but won't say that kind of thing out in public because, oh, people will think we're crazy. Look, mate, I'm telling you what. If you're not telling the 100% between your eyes freaking truth and you're expecting to expose the lies of the system by not telling the truth entirety, then you are crazy. Doesn't matter whether or not people think you're crazy for telling the truth, you are crazy to think that not saying it will actually get you somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm past caring now. I've already been accused of Munchausen's by proxy. So probably I'll be accused of being mad, being paranoid.
Either that or should be... you just kind of got cut off there, Christina. Could you repeat yourself, please?
Yes, I mean, we are going to be called crazy. We are going to be called mad because they want to cover it up. And it's easier to call us mad and crazy than admit what we're saying is the truth. They will let both sides, as I say, into the meeting to hear both sides. Hopefully, people like Sally Alcadoy will be able to do a good job. I mean, she's a brilliant professional. She probably will do an excellent job. I don't doubt her for a moment. And she'll tell it as it is, that vaccinations are poison. Children are already getting, 38 vaccinations in the USA alone before the age of five. So, you know, two more. That is 41 vaccinations before the age of five. I mean, is that normal? We've got more illness, we've got more disability, we've got more autism, ADHD, diabetes, obesity, you name it, we've got it, childhood cancers. We never had all that before all the vaccinations. And that's
I can think of hardcore heroin addicts that have less injections in a 5-year period than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Why do children need all these? I have the actual Indian schedule out. In fact, truth is another article I wrote. I've actually got the Indian schedule written up. Do you realise that Indian children have, before the age of five, 8 doses of polio vaccination? 8 doses of polio. And there's still polio out there because the vaccines are causing the polio.
Oh, the vaccines also, there was a reaction as well. The polio mutated, apparently, into chronic fatigue syndrome. So instead of permanently paralyzing you, it semi-paralyzes you for the entirety of your life, for which you can be prescribed drugs for the entirety of your life.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, now they've discovered that the vaccinations are causing vaccine-induced polio, which is now they're calling AFP. I don't know what the actual letters stand for, or can't say what the letters stand for, but there's so much that's being covered up that is coming out now. And you've got people like Mike Adams on Natural News. You've got Alex Jones speaking out. You've got people like yourself speaking out. And people are speaking out. They are realising what's happened. And we've got more and more. This is why they want to stop all the media on the internet from speaking out. They're trying to close all the internet media. They're trying to stop journalists like myself because they're saying that we're not proper journalists because we're not being paid for being journalists. Well, I am getting paid some money, not very much, but I am getting paid to be a journalist. I am fully qualified. I did go to university. I have got my degree in journalism. So therefore, you know, I am allowed to do what I'm doing and I can do it legally. So, but they're trying to stop us from doing that. They're trying to stop everybody that's speaking out on the internet from doing that. And they're trying to, you know, put the web of trust on Facebook accounts. I mean, nearly all my articles have the web of trust. It will come up. If you went onto Facebook and went onto one of my articles, mostly you've got the web of trust sign come up. Don't trust this website, etc., you know. All you have to do is click ignore and you go straight onto the articles. The articles can be trusted. Fact truth can be trusted because we do tell the truth and we tell it as it is.
Mm, I think that's good. And what I find interesting about telling the truth, you get ridiculed from one side of the scumbags and so on and so forth, but you get praised and followed by the other side of people who are good, decent, and can still think. You know, isn't that wonderful? You put your flag up, not only do your enemies know where you are, but so do your allies. And that's really good. I like that. I've had this experience myself, Christina. In fact, I just looked at the Alexa rankings for my website. Instead of being in the top million websites in the world, it's gone up 280,000 places. I'm now in the top 700,000 websites in the world. So that's not bad. And that's what happens.
That's really good. What
happens when you tell the truth, really care about people, and have people appreciate it. That's I think, because the more popular I get... The more popular I get, the more I can help people like you, Christina, and that's actually really my objective. It doesn't fame for me. It doesn't really matter unless it actually gives me the ability to help people as a result, and it does. And thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. Do you? Can you please give out your websites before we go? We've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, my website where I write mainly for is vactruth.com. That's VAC. Truth,
truth.com. It's very late at night, ladies and gentlemen. Give her a break.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning here. Yeah, vactruth.com and profitableharm.com is my website that's on vaccines, and it's got adverse reactions on it. I've tried to make it as a sort of balance as I possibly can because of the fact that, you know, it will be pulled if not. But it's mostly adverse reactions to drugs and vaccinations. And it speaks about homeopathic drugs as well and homeopathic vaccinations, because there are them.
All right. Excellent. Christina England, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Also search Vinnie Eastwood, Christina England on YouTube, and we'll get the version of the show up there as well for you to share around. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your donations, ladies and gentlemen. And please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe. $5 a month today. Support the broadcast. See you again.